Live from the Police Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Ryan Wood does a great job covering the Packers. Going to join us coming up at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. We will chat it up today with Dwight Freeney at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. And then in the final hour of the show, live from Indianapolis, the site of the NFL Combine, Tony Pauline will join us. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
I got to start off today with the Green Bay Packers. And I would respect the Packers and also Aaron Rodgers more if they were just honest. And this is not, oh, here comes the yearly rant about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, because the last 2 years, I was on an island actually believing and saying and defending the idea that Aaron Rodgers was going to stay in Green Bay. Two off seasons ago, I thought he was going to stay. Last off season, I thought he was going to stay. Now this off season, I'm in the majority where people were the last two off seasons, which is I don't think Aaron Rodgers come week one is going to be on the Green Bay Packers. And I think the biggest thing that changed is that the Packers are now ready to go to Jordan Love, which they weren't the last 2 years. And also, they don't want Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay anymore. When they drafted Jordan Love a few years ago, the plan wasn't to go to Jordan Love right away. It was, let's see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do for the next few years. And at that time, I don't think anyone in their right mind, even though Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous football player, but when you make a move in trading for Jordan Love in the draft and moving up to go get Jordan Love in the draft, I don't think anyone could have foreseen Rodgers bouncing back when they started to doubt him with back-to-back MVP seasons. But when you start to show signs that even though Rodgers could bounce back and have a big-time year this year, but when you can't find a way to get into the postseason, and you don't get into at least a wild card spot in a division we all thought they were going to win, and all they had to do, and I know the Lions are ascending team, beat the Lions once, and they would have been in, that is starting to show you, maybe Rodgers' time in Green Bay is coming to a close, and maybe the window that he once had to get that second Lombardi is shut. And if I'm Gutekunst, I look at it as 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, two MVPs, didn't find a way to get to another Super Bowl, let alone win one, win another one. So now coming off a non-playoff year, not like a disappointment in the playoffs, a non-playoff year, I think the Packers are looking at it and saying, can we get back to 13-3 form? And they're probably saying right now, no. And even if you do somehow get back to 13-3 form, what makes you believe, with Devontae Adams no longer on the roster, that you're going to go take this to a Super Bowl and win a second title? And who knows how much longer Rodgers is going to play? So with all that adding up, it is lining up for the perfect time for these two to divorce. And I've been saying this for the last month, month and a half. This is a married couple that is in couples therapy. They both know this relationship is over, but they're trying, and I say this in air quotes, to salvage the marriage, right? They're trying to go through the proper steps, but both sides know the love isn't there anymore. And no matter how hard they try, how much couples therapy they go to, they're just waiting for the other person to say, this is over, we are done. And neither right now want to say that. And I would respect Brian Gutekunst more if he just got to the podium today and said, we are taking calls on Aaron Rodgers. We are done with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to work with him and we're going to trade him. Because you know that's how he feels. He felt that way a few years ago when he set up the departure eventually of Aaron Rodgers by going on out there and drafting Jordan Love. And on the other side, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're starting to not feel the love and you don't love the way that the team is being ran, why do you want to stay as well? But right now what we're in is a waiting game and a game of just nonsense and drama. Because if we brought Brian Gutekunst in it right now, sat him down to my right, if we brought Rodgers in right now and sat him down to my left, and I hooked them both up to a lie detector test, and I asked Aaron Rodgers, do you want to be the starting quarterback on the Green Bay Packers next year with Brian Gutekunst as the GM and then also Matt LaFleur as the head coach? If he said yes, I think that would be a lie. And if I looked to Brian Gutekunst and said, do you want Rodgers back on the Packers next year? And he said, yeah, that would 1,000% be a lie. Because the Packers now believe Jordan Love is ready. And I don't think when they look at Rodgers, even, and I'm not diminishing the play of Rodgers and underselling the play of Rodgers. We don't know how great he could be. But even if he gets back to a great form, I don't think this team, even in a weak NFC, is ready to go win a Super Bowl. Because we saw it when he was at his best back-to-back MVP years. And it ended in disappointment in the NFC title game and then disappointment in the divisional round. So at this rate, let's just cut all the drama, all the nonsense, and let's just be honest. Aaron, you're ready to move on. Brian Gutekunst, you're ready to move on as well. And it's time for this relationship to end. I don't need to wait another week or two for Rodgers to publicly state it, or the Packers to just keep on hoping and imploring that Rodgers will be the first one to say it so they don't look like the bad guys to the fan base that wants to keep Aaron Rodgers. Guys, just get together. Talk. Because you know where you want to go, Gutekunst, and Rodgers knows what he wants to do. I don't think Rodgers wants to come back, and I don't think Gutekunst wants him back on the roster. So work together. However you want to formulate the message, that is fine. But let's be honest, both sides are ready for this marriage to end. So do we really need to delay this another 2-3 weeks and go through this ridiculous song and dance? I thought Rodgers was supposed to emerge out of this darkness retreat and have all the answers, right? And be ready to make the decision, and he would see the light at the end of the tunnel and all that. But when Gutekunst spoke to the media earlier today, and he was simply asked, do you want Aaron Rodgers back? This was his answer. He's a great player, but until we have those conversations, I think all options are on the table. We need to have those conversations. We want what's best for the Packers, what's best for him, so we'll get to that coming up. That answer right there, even though he barely said nothing, the answer is basically, we are ready to move on. Because if you actually wanted Aaron Rodgers back, you would say, we have to have conversations, but our goal right now is to have Aaron Rodgers back as the quarterback next year. Instead, he just did womp, 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 womp. Yeah, he's a great player. We got to have conversations. We want what is best for him and what is best for us. And we'll get to that coming up. What are you guys waiting for? Like next week, I would hope we have an answer. I'm not expecting, though, next week we have an answer. But the way that this process is going to go is one side is going to eventually display their honesty. One side is eventually going to cave, whether that's Rodgers, guys, I'm ready to split, or it's Gutekunst saying, we're ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. And then you guys got to work together to find that next destination on where you're going to trade into. Well, like, enough is enough at this rate. And even if Rodgers wanted to go back to Green Bay, I don't think Gutekunst wants him anymore. Because then Jordan Love, all he has to do, and just because someone requests a trade doesn't mean you have to trade him, but all Jordan Love has to say is, guys, you either start me and you make sure I'm the starting quarterback in week one or trade me somewhere else. I want to get my career going. You know, this has been 3 years now. I want to prove what I could do on a football field in year number four. And I don't think Gutekunst, who thinks that Love is his future, I'm not going to say I know Love is the future, in terms of success, but he obviously believes in Jordan Love more than anybody, You really want to get that relationship off to a rocky start where you've asked him to be patient the last few years, and he has. He's done everything right. You really are going to make him sit and wait another year to accomplish what? Aaron Rodgers maybe making the playoffs next year and then having a disappointing ending? Like, I could understand if Rodgers wants to stay. I could understand if Rodgers wants to be a Packer for life. But at this point, if you're not seeing the love back, I think Rodgers would get caught up in his feelings enough and sensitive enough where he's like, okay, I'm done. So that's why whenever those conversations happen, and you've already heard Rodgers kind of throw shade at the organization, like, I know there's conversations that are happening without me, blah, 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 when he's done some of his appearances, you've seen signs from both sides that Rodgers doesn't want to be there anymore and Gutekunst doesn't want him there anymore. So what's taken so long, and why do we have to have this staring contest? It's because Rodgers doesn't want to be perceived as the guy that wanted to leave Green Bay, and Gutekunst doesn't want to be perceived as the guy that ran Rodgers out of town in case if it does not work. And right now, it's just a staring contest. Both of these sides know that this marriage is done, it's finished, it's over, and who's going to have the guts to finally voice their honesty first? I don't know who that's going to be. If I had to take a guess, I would imagine, since Rodgers probably wants to be more patient about it, and he thinks that everyone's just going to snap their fingers whenever he says go, it will be the Packers that are honest with them first. But until we get one of those sides willing to bend a little bit and tell us their honesty, we're just at this waiting game and this point of stupidity right now where you get quotes today like from Gutekunst, yeah, he's a great player. We got to have those conversations. All options are open. We want what's best for him and what's best for us. Like, come on. If you actually wanted him back, you would have scoffed at the question and you would have said, that's our quarterback, that's our guy, just as long as he wants to be here. But instead, you gave this generic answer that was just a bunch of bullcrap. Where you at on this? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The last 2 years, I did not think for a second Rodgers was getting traded. I think it is as crystal clear as it could be that Rodgers this offseason will be dealt. To which team? That's up for you to speculate, right? Like, we could have those conversations. We've been talking about the Jets. We've been talking about the Raiders. Who knows who else will emerge? But I will be shocked at this point. Even with how unpredictable Rodgers is, I would be shocked at this point if we don't get a notification or two notifications throughout this year where one says either Rodgers is done with the Packers or the Packers are done with Rodgers, and then the follow-up notification a week or two after that is Aaron Rodgers is getting dealt to this team, and that's where he's going to be playing football coming up in 2023. Hickey, where are you at on this one today? Because it just, when we get to this waiting game, it just seems like a bunch of nonsense, because I think where I know where Rodgers is at and where the Packers are at, and even though we think we know what they want, none of them are actually saying to the other party, hey, we're done, we're finished, when both parties, it feels like, want this marriage to come to a close.
Oh, he's definitely gone. There's no doubt about it. He's getting traded this offseason. With that said, though, I understand why the Packers are kind of playing it coy. Like, I think at one point you do have to try to get as much leverage as you can in order to get the highest return back. And if you're Brian Gutekunst and you can at least have the threat of, oh, you know, this is not the trade package we want, we'll just keep him. Instead of just coming out and saying, okay, he's done, we're going to move on from him. I think that's one of the ways you try to get the as most return as possible.
But do they really have any leverage in this case? Because ultimately, all the cards are in the hands of Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's just throw a team, for example, the Jets. The Jets could come calling and offer, I don't think it would be this lucrative of a price tag, 3 first-round picks. And if Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Jets, it doesn't matter what the Jets are offering. If he really wants to go to the Raiders, and there is a relationship, right, and history before, just like last offseason with the Packers and the Raiders, where they got that Davante Adams deal done. So I don't know how dirty then necessarily the Raiders will play in that. And there was also conversations about Darren Waller allegedly and all that stuff. But if Rodgers says, guys, all right, you want to move on from me or I want to move on from you and I want to go to the Raiders, you really don't have much leverage there if you're the Packers. You know, you are really tied to what Aaron Rodgers is willing to accept on where he's going to go. And that's where I think that's the interesting part to me. That how do those negotiations go down? Because are the Packers really then, when they, you know they want to eventually go to Love, Hickey, are the Packers, if they don't like the return for Rodgers, really going to go back to Rodgers and say, tough luck, Aaron. You're going to play for us next year, even though we want to go to Jordan Love, but we couldn't get what we thought we could get for you. At that point, you're kind of screwed, and you're just going to have to take whatever you're going to want to get.
Well, that's at the end of the day, right? That's not going to happen, but I think if at least if you make the appearance of, hey, we're content with running it back, and we don't have to trade him unless we get X, Y, and Z, like, it's a negotiation, right? So, obviously, that's part of the game, which is why I guess at this point I get why Brian Gutekunst is kind of playing it down the middle of, oh, we'll see, we'll talk to him, we haven't made a decision yet. Like, I get why he's doing it, but like
I think said, and maybe you're right on that. But I think that is more so trying to save face publicly, because whether he thinks it's the right move or not, there is going to be a contingency of your fan base that's going to say, how can you drive Aaron Rodgers out of town? Gutekunst, like, what have you won? Blah, 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 blah. And I really do think Gutekunst wants Rodgers to be the first person to say, I'm done, I want out, just so he could kind of say, it wasn't me driving him out of town, even though we all know it was him driving out of town the moment when he drafted Jordan Love.
Let me ask you this. Does it matter? Like, does it matter who, like, in this game of chicken, who, like, basically blinks first, if you will?
In public perception, I think it does. You don't want to be, like, because let's say this. If this succeeds, irrelevant. If, like, Jordan Love is successful, it's irrelevant. But if he fails, yeah, you're probably still going to be out of a job anyway. But I think it looks worse when it's Brian Gutekunst traded Aaron Rodgers after one down season, after winning back-to-back MVPs and giving him a contract extension because his ego was so big and he wanted to go with Jordan Love just because he drafted him a few years ago in the first round, compared to Aaron didn't want to be here anymore. So I wanted to keep him, even though no one would believe that. I wanted to keep him, but he said to us first, I didn't want to be here anymore after signing an extension. I gave him that extension. I wanted to keep him here. So that's how he could kind of play it to justify with maybe if Love doesn't work, where you would think he would be gone, but you never know because they don't have a traditional ownership structure there.
Well, couldn't you argue that either way, Gutekunst is driving out Aaron Rodgers? Like, why would he want to leave?
You could.
Because the whole Jordan Love draft pick and also
did give him an extension, though.
Not getting the requisite players around him, you could argue that's also Brian Gutekunst for not replacing Davante Adams, for letting Davante Adams leave in the first place. Like, I think you could also piece the arguments of, as to why Aaron Rodgers wants to leave and also put that blame back on Brian Gutekunst's shoulders, even if we get to a point where Aaron Rodgers is the first one to say, I want out of here. I think you can still point the finger at Gutekunst and say, well, you're out, you want out because of what the Packers GM didn't do for you.
Well, I actually think Rodgers is the biggest reason why Davante Adams is no longer there. Like, the Packers were being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers, and they felt like they couldn't really give out any other big contracts, and eventually Davante Adams just said, bleep it. Like, if that relationship was as strong as what we were thought to be with Rodgers and Adams, you know, Rodgers should have found a way to kind of massage those differences and still get the deal done. And ultimately, Adams didn't want to be there anymore, whether it was just being fed up with Rodgers, fed up with the organization, or maybe a little bit of both, because he left money on the table to go to Las Vegas. The Packers offered him a better deal.
All right, if you want to say it's on Aaron Rodgers, fine. Then you can say, well, it's on Gutekunst then to not replace him adequately. You know, sitting there with Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins.
Christian Watson had a good final 7-8 games. We'll see what he could develop into.
But nowhere near the standard for the Packers. Again, when you give Aaron Rodgers that extension, it's Super Bowl or bust, whether you're saying it or not.
Yes.
You're all in. And to roll out with the receivers they rolled out with last year, said anything but Super Bowl or bust.
Let me ask you this,
though. Possible, and they didn't do anything possible.
Who was the wide receiver, though, that Gutekunst, after getting rid of Adams, that was proven that he was supposed to go get?
I mean, Tyreek Hill's on the mock.
Who got traded first there? Was that Adams or was that?
No, it was Adams.
It was Adams?
That trade sparked Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, look what Adams got. Well, now I want, you know, but I want to eat.
Would Tyreek Hill would have been willing to go to Green Bay? Because there was that idea that it was Miami or the Jets, and really they were just using the Jets as leverage to get more money on the Miami contract, and he ultimately wanted to go to Miami. And that's what ended up happening.
If you're Tyreek Hill, I have no idea. Obviously, it seems like the Packers are never involved in the first place just because that's how they are. But if you're Tyreek Hill, you see what Davante Adams just did, you would think, well, I could just basically replace his role, get all the targets, then that's kind of the reason why he wanted to leave, money and targets. I would say Green Bay would have been an attractive destination for him.
Bottom line, this is a pointless staring contest right now. We know what both sides are thinking. it's time to say it. Packers, you don't want him back anymore. Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to be there anymore. And it's time to move on. It's time to split. Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break when we come on back. Three destinations for Derek Carr, and when could that deal come on down? Well, Derek Carr has a target date. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I was watching Mike Garofalo today on NFL Network, and he was talking about the timeline for Derek Carr, who's actually in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. He's already met with the Jets and the Saints, so I guess he will meet with the Jets and Saints again. But then another team has popped up, and that's the Carolina Panthers. And who knows, when you're there in person, just what conversations that you have in passing or you'll have directly being in Indianapolis, where a team maybe wasn't willing to talk to you. Then you see someone that you know, and the next thing, several dominoes fall from there. But Mike Garofalo was saying that Carr's looking to get a deal done, even though he's not in a rush, from now until March 13th, when that starts the legal tampering period. And I said this before, I'll say it again. If I'm Derek Carr, and like, you really want to go to the Jets, and the Jets are saying we're going to wait to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, I would kind of force their hand and then maybe say, okay, I'm going to be willing to go to the Saints, or I'm going to be willing to go to the Panthers. I'm going to get this deal done and go to them. You ready? I'm giving you one last opportunity. And that's a gamble that you have to take, where if the Jets say, no, we're going to wait for Aaron Rodgers, then you go sign somewhere else. Now, when you look at the Saints, I don't really love that destination. I know the division stinks, but you don't even know how many games you'll have Alvin Kamara next year. I would imagine Michael Thomas is on his way out in New Orleans. Sure, you do have Chris Olave. And I know the salary cap is kind of like a joke, but they do have to shed a lot of salary cap. There's rumors that maybe Cam Jordan is going to get traded. I don't really, even though Carr knows him, have this great belief that Dennis Allen's going to have a big-time successful chapter, a second go-around as an NFL head coach. For a while, it looked like, when it was just the Jets and the Saints, that the Jets were the better destination. Even though it's tougher to make the playoffs when you're in the AFC and in the AFC East, you got a young core on the defensive side of the ball, also on the offensive side of the ball. They'll be getting back Breece Hall. You have the Offensive Rookie of the Year in Garrett Wilson. We know all the names on the defensive side of the ball, led by the Defensive Rookie of the Year in Sauce Gardner. You also have Quinnen Williams anchoring that defensive line as well. But when I hear the Carolina Panthers are going to talk to Derek Carr, that's a move to me that, if I'm Derek Carr, I think that moves the needle. Where you could argue the Jets are a better destination than the Carolina Panthers in terms of roster construction, but the Panthers have a solid defense. And on the offensive side of the ball last year, they revamped that offensive line. The line played really well down the stretch. You got DJ Moore. I know you don't have Christian McCaffrey there anymore. And even though I'm not the biggest fan in the world of Frank Reich, you do have an offensive-minded head coach. And, oh yeah, by the way, you could go to the Jets and you'll probably make the playoffs. Even though they have a really good roster, I wouldn't say it's a lock. You look at the NFC South and you see the three other teams in that NFC South. If Derek Carr goes there with the roster that they have in Carolina, they would automatically be the favorites to win that NFC South. Like, Tampa Bay right now, their starting quarterback would be Kyle Trask. The Saints don't have a quarterback. The Falcons, they're a few years away and they got to acquire more talent. So, Hickey, I didn't really think the Panthers were going to be interested, and I was caught off guard when it came out that he's in Indianapolis and he's meeting with the Carolina Panthers. But I hear those three options, Jets, Saints, and Panthers. I think it would actually behoove, if no other teams really get into it, that it would behoove Derek Carr to take the Carolina Panthers if they do offer him a deal. I think he'd be best set up for success in Carolina.
I think you're right, because he would definitely get the most cracks at the postseason. Obviously, as we know, that's you kind of change your narrative, change how people perceive you. So if that's what Derek Carr is looking for, you're right. The Jets roster is better, but it's just with that division, with that conference, it's a lot harder to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, let alone multiple playoff games. Where you look at the NFC, I mean, he's going to win that division, assuming the Bucs don't, you know, make a splash in his Kyle Trask. Win that division probably easily the next 2 years, you would think. And probably win one playoff game, maybe, you think, if you avoid the Eagles or the 49ers in the first round.
Like, well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
It's a good situation.
I don't know if I could already start handing them out a playoff victory here and there. But I do think it would be an easier road to go win a playoff game in Carolina than the Jets.
Absolutely.
Even though the Jets have a good roster, I have a lot of respect for what Joe Douglas has done. I can't trust that they would even – I can't say that it's a lock that they would even be in the playoffs next year. Like, they should be. They were 7-10 this past year with no quarterback. So you'd think that would be enough to get them in the playoffs. But you look at the AFC right now, like, yes or no, just on the surface right now, playoff team or not for next year, the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
I'll give you the easiest layup of them all, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
That would be a big take if you said no there. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? You would pick them to win the AFC South right now. So that's just four right there. What about the Los Angeles Chargers?
You think that's a playoff team?
I know we don't know the status of Lamar Jackson, but if Lamar is on the roster, you ready to say that they're locked to make the playoffs?
A lock? No, I would not go there.
Just because of the injury concern?
Yes.
Now, even with the injuries the last year, they did go 10-7 to make
it. They made it.
Okay, but you put them
on the bubble.
You put them in the running.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh?
Not a lock.
The Browns?
In the mix, not a lock.
Okay. So pretty much, what about the Broncos?
I think they're a playoff lock, but.
Yeah, but you thought they were a lock to win the Super Bowl last year.
We'll say conservatively in the mix.
So basically, you're telling me, what about Miami? Are they a lock?
Depends on their quarterback. Like,
that's the tough part.
It's tough. Definitely in the mix. Definitely in the mix.
Put it this way.
Tua's health is a big concern.
If these five teams aren't in the playoffs next year, Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, Bengals, and then whoever wins AFC South right now, obviously we lean Jacksonville, I would be really surprised. So that leaves you two spots left. Like, I can't tell you the Jets are definitely in over the Ravens, Steelers, Browns, even the Broncos. Who knows who's starting at quarterback for the Raiders, the Dolphins. You know, does Mac Jones bounce back with the Patriots? Like, they're in the mix to be a wild card team if they get Derek Carr. But you go to Carolina, and you look at that NFC South, they're automatically winning that division. If Tampa Bay starting Kyle Trask, if Jameis Winston is back with the Saints, or whoever, like, even if they bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, I think the Panthers have a better roster right now than the Saints. And then you look at the Falcons, they got to figure out who their quarterback is, and they got to build the rest of that roster. So that's why I look at it just in terms of AFC compared to NFC. Yeah, you give the edge to the overall construction of the roster to the Jets compared to the Panthers, but it's not like the Panthers have this crappy roster. They got a really good defense with a lot of young, hungry players on the defense side of the ball. Most importantly for Derek Carr, they fixed that offensive line, and you got DJ Moore, who's one of the more underrated wide receivers in the NFL. You go add another player on the offensive side of the ball, you should be able to win 10 games next year in Carolina. And also, you look at the coaching advantage. Now, I know I'm critical of Frank Reich, but I don't know what Arthur Smith is as a head coach. Like, he's been fine so far. Dennis Allen, I don't trust. And Todd Bowles, anytime he's an NFL head coach, he's a disaster. So I do think there's an advantage and an easier road to get to the playoffs if you select the Panthers, if they want you. And that's another conversation. It's just an interview. How legit is the interest compared to the New York Jets, who are ready to say that he's, you know, if he wins a Super Bowl, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer one day and would enter Canton, Ohio. So I look at the Panthers. I think they would be a good destination for Derek Carr. But that's the big question. To the Panthers, who they had Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. Like, Carr is a much better quarterback than all three of those guys. But how high is the ceiling really for Derek Carr? Like, Derek Carr at his best at times could look like a top 10 quarterback. Do you just want to bring him in? I don't know if it's a 3-year deal, okay. Kind of seems like what you did with Bridgewater a few years ago. And maybe you pass on a quarterback this year and then eventually try to find a quarterback moving up in the draft or something like that if you make the playoffs.
Let's say the Panthers are interested. How do you make a better pitch than what the Jets did? The Jets said, we'll make you a first ballot Hall of Famer. What did the Panthers say? We'll win you 10 rings?
It's a good point.
Like,
I think you bring in Ed Orgeron, jeez, like in the movie The Blind Side, like, SJ, we'll give you a sideline pass. Do something like that. Hype up his family.
We'll sign David and your other brother on the roster.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
I'm sure David Tepper could be a smooth talker. That guy has done a lot of negotiations. It could be slimy. It could be disingenuous where the things you promise don't actually end up happening, but It's about getting the guy in the building.
That's true. That's very true.
You know how people make money. Not tough to figure that out. It's not all squeaky clean as you would think. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll break. Hickey proposed a question to me right before the start of the show about Carson Wentz's next stop. And there's an article out there with five potential destinations. We will get to that on the other side. And whenever I say Hickey and propose, Ack is always on Hickey. Ack is like the nudge to Hickey. When are you proposing to your girlfriend, Lolly, who you guys have been together now for what? 5 years?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. Because I heard Ack whisper that to you.
It's time.
My sister dated who ended up being her husband for 10 years.
Really?
You know, they were in college, and then afterwards, they waited a while.
Well, Hickey may need a little push there.
I think Hickey is still...
She's a lovely girl. I don't know what she's doing with him.
Well, you know. That's not nice. You know what? I will defend Hickey here, and I will pull a Ross Tucker line when Ross Tucker once joined us on one of his anniversaries. I think Hickey kicked his coverage properly. You know, I think I'll kick the coverage.
I think he had a little strong. He had a little strong one on that kick. I think he got a hold of it.
The hots for your girlfriend is what he said.
He got a hold of it. You know,
the wind was behind you. I had a nice down exactly. Helping sail the kick.
I do love Hickey. She did well for herself too.
I still think. Now, how long have you been living with your girlfriend for? This has been a year now.
Exactly a year.
I think you're hoping. If I propose the over under of a year and a half, you're hoping for the over still. But once you live with someone for more than a year, I think then in year number two, that's when she starts to nudge you a little bit.
Well, we're both in no rush. Well, what's the rush?
I'm just, Ack was the one that opened up Pandora's box.
Once you get married, once you have a kid, for the next 18, 20 years, your life is over.
Have your parents or her parents, have they started to bring up these questions?
Not at all.
Okay.
Everyone is patient.
That's how you know Hickey doesn't come from a Jewish family. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will talk a little Carson Wentz when we come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Hickey asked me a question about Carson Wentz before the show. And Hickey, just so I make sure I get this right, reiterate your question to me right now.
CBS Sports contracted a list of five landing spots for Carson Wentz.
Who's the author of this?
Tyler Sullivan.
Okay. So five landing spots for Carson Wentz. Now, this is a difficult question, but I gave it some thought. Now, yesterday, I threw out the scenario, if he embraces being a backup, it would benefit him going to Miami, where we don't know the health status moving forward, and one concussion, maybe he's out for the rest of the year, and maybe it could be career-ending, unfortunately, for Tua Tagovailoa. And if you get on the field in Miami, you have Jalen Waddle and also Tyreek Hill. Are the Dolphins on that list? That is a guess of mine.
They are not one of the five, according to Tyler Sullivan.
And that's why Tyler Sullivan's not a good author. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if you're Tyler Sullivan's agent, better get on the phone. He needs a new job.
No, I'm just teasing. Is Tampa Bay on that list? They need a quarterback. They have some good wide receivers. That organization, I know they just released Leonard Fournette today. I feel like their window is going to come to a close very quickly without Tom Brady, but did he throw out the idea? I could see that being Tampa Bay, one of the suggestions.
He has ranked them 1 through 5. Tampa Bay is number 2.
Okay.
On the list.
All righty. So let me just write these down. So I guess one incorrectly, that is Miami. And then he put Tampa Bay in at number 2. If that is the starting quarterback next year for Tampa Bay, how the mighty have fallen. You go from Tom Brady to Carson Wentz. Now, if I would have told you that in 2017, you'd be like, yeah, because Carson Wentz, right before he got hurt, was beating out Tom Brady for the MVP. But since then, he's been an absolute disaster. My next guess, I just advocated for this team to go on out and sign Derek Carr. But I really do believe Frank Reich, as the new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers, did not want to move on from Carson Wentz after 1 year in Indianapolis, which is bad decision-making, and Jim Irsay swooped in and said, this is over with. Is this for a starting role? I don't know, but they do need someone to start. It could be for a backup, but are the Panthers on that list?
You mentioned the Frank Reich history. According to Tyler Sullivan, that is the number one landing spot for Carson Wentz, the Carolina Panthers.
I'll give some free advice to Frank Reich. You've learned nothing from the last 2 years or the failure at the end in Indianapolis if one of your first moves in determining who your quarterback is for next year is if you go out there and you now double down on Carson Wentz. That would be stupid, Hickey.
As the great George W. Bush said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
Frank, you can't get fooled again, man.
Don't be a hypocriticizer.
Don't do it again. Holy cow.
Yeah, that would be stupid. And you really do like Frank Reich. I think he's an okay head football coach. I was really, though, turned off by the last 2 years when it was the same mistakes over and over and over again. If he goes back to Carson Wentz, if you're a Panthers fan, then I just feel bad for you because you've gone through enough crap at the quarterback position just the last 3 years. Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. If then Carson Wentz is the answer, you're going to be begging for P.J. Walker back.
I think that would be the most depressing, too. Like, you just rattled off, four or five quarterbacks the Panthers had in recent years that's been bad. Like, Kyle Allen started games and Ron Rivera trying to hype up to the future. I don't think it gets any more depressing than Carson Wentz week one next year.
Yeah,
that is bad. That is bad.
Yeah, that would be
so bad. Frank, don't do it, man. So there you go. You got the top two. Panthers one, Bucks two, three to play. No one else in the NFC South.
Baltimore Ravens.
Good guess. No.
Thought right national
good
writer like
guess.
That. Incorporate Lamar, drive up the clicks and all that.
Now to be fair, this is only a graphic, no link to the article. So no clicks, if you will, quote unquote.
It's
a graphic.
But I'm sure this was tweeted out.
Tweeted out.
So knowing how this works, he probably wrote the article, and then they tweeted it out, and for whatever reason, they didn't include the link to the article. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. All right, I'll give you another guess. What about the LA Rams?
Another good, logical, reasonable guess. Not in the top five.
Okay.
I don't think, honestly, there's three teams left, obviously. I don't think you're going to get one.
How many in the AFC?
Two.
Two in the AFC?
Two in the AFC, and I'll be surprised if you get one.
I'll just throw a dart out there, and I like chaos. Broncos on there?
They are not on there.
What about Tennessee?
Another logical, reasonable guess. Not in there.
Oh,
top five.
Jeez.
So this is according to Tyler Sullivan of CBS Sports. This is not, you know...
And it'd be for a backup?
An opinion role. Out of the three left, two would definitely be for a backup. One would be for a starter.
And only two are in the AFC.
Two are in the AFC, one in the NFC.
Is the one in the AFC, is one that is in the AFC potentially for a starter?
No.
Okay, I was going to say the Jets, but the Jets aren't on that list?
The Jets are not on the list.
That would be a joke if the Jets ended up with Carson Wentz.
You flirt with Carr, Rodgers, and there you are with Carson Wentz.
All right, so I'm stumped on the AFC. Oh, Doug Peterson, Jacksonville, backup.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. Nope. I'm going to stop guessing the AFC because I think I went through the whole conference. I'll take one more guess in the NFC and then you'll tell me.
Okay. And this would be for a week one starter role.
What about Seattle? They don't bring back Geno Smith. All right, I'm stumped. So I got the Panthers and Tampa Bay. I got one and two. Could not get the other three. Give me the other three. Go from five to three.
According to Tyler Sullivan of CBS Sports, the fifth best, I guess, landing spot for Carson Wentz is the Arizona Cardinals.
Week one starter.
Now,
you don't have a quarterback right now?
I don't know how midway through the year that would go when Kyler Murray comes back. But
very simple. Carson Wentz, you stunk. Here's some bench. I should be an NFL head coach.
You've been used to this after last year getting benched, what, three times? So here you go. Four times.
We paid you a one-year deal. You're lucky you got whatever we gave you. Kyler Murray put him a lot more money.
So Cardinals as the fifth spot. He would be the week one starter there. The next two, four and three, backup roles in the AFC.
Who's
number
four? Yeah.
Buffalo Bills.
Oh!
Told you wouldn't guess that one. Number three, I think, is even less likely that you'll guess it, but they do have an opening. Chad Henne retired. The Kansas City Chiefs. So Tyler Sullivan's top five landing spots, according to him, for Carson Wentz. Panthers one, Buccaneers two, Chiefs three, Bills 4, Cardinals 5.
The Panthers, he would welcome that too because he'd have a road to start. Panthers fans, I would send you my condolences now. Tampa Bay, same thing. If you go from Brady to Wentz, though, just know you're punting on the season. Chiefs and Bills, he'll never go there because even though, right, you could have injuries, he's not going to want to be a backup. And that's what I think the biggest problem is going to be for Carson Wentz. He doesn't realize that he's not a starting quarterback anymore in the NFL. And the Cardinals, at least you're guaranteed some starts. So three of those I could see, potentially. Like, I don't know if those teams are running to get him, but you got to make a list and you have to give a top five some way, somehow.